We are on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, continuing the discussion of Baal Keri, the Mishnah. And yesterday's daf on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis taught us that a Baal Keri is not allowed to say Kriya Shema. Our perek Misha Mesu, third perek of Brachos, is dedicated to the topic of exemptions. Who's patur from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? First Mishnah opened up with an onen. Onen is patur from Kriya Shema. Next Mishnah talked about Nashim, Avadim Katanim, also patur from Kriya Shema. And the Mishnah on the yesterday's daf dealt with a Baal Keri. Man who has a seminal discharge is going to be exempt from saying Kriya Shema, and that's because of Takanas Ezra. The Gemara Baba Kama tells us in the seventh parak on Daf Pei Beis that Ezra, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, so he was misakin 10 Takanas that were issued by Ezra when reinstituting and rebuilding the second base of Mikdash. And one of them is that a Baal Keri is not allowed to learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah. This is not a function of Tum and Tahara. In fact, as we're going to be learning in today's daf, even if the tefillah does not create a Tahara, even if the person, let's say, has a double Tumah, and the Tahara and the tefillah in the mikvah is only going to alleviate one of his Tumahs, and the second Tumah is still there, nevertheless, he will be unable to learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah. As far as why Ezra was misaking, so it's not abundantly clear, as we already pointed out in yesterday's daf. Could very well be that he just simply wanted the Talmid Chacham to learn more in a state of Kedushin Tahara and to have more seriousness in terms of learning. It could very well be, and we'll get a hint of that in today's daf, that it has to do with the fact that Ezra did not want Talmid Chacham to be with their wives more than was recommended already by the Chachamim. That could be another consideration, but whatever the case is, so someone is not allowed to learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah if he or she is a Baal Keri. Now, he being a Baal Keri, that we understand. How is she going to be a Baal Keri? So that is something also we're going to be seeing over the course of the daf today as well. Just reviewing the Mishnah that we saw yesterday in Chaf Amud Aleph, on Chaf Amud Beis. So the Mishnah told us that a Baal Keri, so now that he can't learn Torah, so what does he do for some of the most basic activities? Let's say, for example, Shema, which comes up twice a day. Or let's say he wants to eat, and he wants to make motzi, and he wants to bench. So what does he do regarding Shema and motzi? So in the Mishnah, we had a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah brought down the opinion of the Tanakhama, which is that for those things which are d'oraisa, like Shema, and like benching after eating, so for those two, so you're not going to be able to say it because you are a Baal Keri who has not yet toveled in the mikvah, but what you may do is be meharher. You can think about Shema and think about benching, meaning you simply run through the Shema and run through the benching in your mind, but you don't articulate the words. And for those things which are derabbanan, let's say, for example, by Shema, the brachas before and after, or for eating, the bracha you make beforehand, so those are derabbanan, therefore those are not going to be thought of in your mind. You just simply do not say them at all. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda says, Mevarach lefnei malachareihim, that you make the bracha before and after his words. And presumably what he means by that is that not only is he arguing about the Daraisas and the Darabanans, meaning that according to the Tanakhama, you're only be able to say the Daraisa, and according to the Tanakhama, you're not even allowed to say it, you only think it. According to Rav Yehuda, there are two points in which he argues. One is that A, you're allowed to say it, and B, not only are you allowed to say the Daraisas, but you're allowed to say the Darabanans as well. So the brachas before and after Shema, and the bracha before eating bread, so those are going to be included in that which you can say. That is the Mishnah, that's the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. And what we're going to be doing now, in the beginning of today's daf, is we're going to be going over the Shita of Rav Yehuda with a deeper and better understanding of the Shita of Rav Yehuda. We are on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis Tanan. We're going to start with a Mishnah. This Mishnah is the last Mishnah in the third parak here in Brachos. And we're going to be talking about people who have a double tumma. So let's say, for example, three examples given in this Mishnah. Zav Shara Keri. The man is a Zav, and he's a Zav Gadola, which means that he will not be able to tovel in the mikvah after before having counted Shivanakiyam. And on top of that, he's also a Baal Keri as well. So those are two different types of tumma. Second example of the Mishnah, Nida Shapleta Shechva Zera. A woman who is a Nida, and on top of that, she's also has a discharge of Shechva Zera, meaning before she was a Nida, she had relations with her husband, and now we know that the Zera that was inside of her keeps running out of her, and for 3 days after having had relations with her husband, so that is going to be Metameh her as the Zera is emerging. And so she is a Nida, and she's also Paleta Shechva Zera. she will be tamei tuma chamura for being a nida, and she'll also be tamei for having a pleita, a discharge of shechva zera. The third example in the Mishnah is mishameshes v'rasa dam. Let's say she had relations, and afterwards she's a nida. So for having relations, the woman is going to have the status of being a balkari. A man is going to have a status for being a balkari when he is mishamish, and the woman also is going to have the status of a balkari when she is mishameshes. And on top of that, she's also a nida. So, three examples here in this Mishnah where a person, either a man or a woman, is both a tuma chamura, and on top of that also has the status of a balkari. Now, in order for them to be tahor lagamre, so obviously after they have to go through the process. However, the Mishnah's focus over here is at what point in time are they able to learn Torah? So the Mishnah says, Tzrichim Tvila, they're going to require a Tvila. The requirement of Tvila over here is for the purposes of being able to learn Torah. Take a look at Rashi over here, Zav Shara Keri. Rashi writes very clearly, Le'inyan Tvila Shetiken Ezra, Labale Krim La'asok B'Torah Kai. As far as the Mishnah's concern, Mishnah's only concern on this particular point is when can they learn Torah? Well, Shara Tzimim Lo'itzrich. As far as the other terms are concerned, this is not the time nor place to discuss it. This is brachos. And despite the fact that they're not going to be tahor when they tov on the mikvah, because in addition to being a balkari, they're either a zav or they're a nida, and that is a 7-day venture, nevertheless, they're still going to have to tovel. Rashi writes, so if they want to engage in the study of Torah, they're going to have to tovel in the mikvah. Okay, Adkan, that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. And then, finishing up the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Poter. So the sheet of Rabbi Huda is that there is no need to tovel in the mikvah. And presumably what Rabbi Huda means by that is that this individual, either man or woman, can learn Torah even without having tovel in the mikvah. And now the Gemara is going to make a diuk in this Mishnah. Ad kan lo pata Rabbi Huda le bezav shara keri. As far as Rabbi Huda is concerned, the only reason why there's an exemption is because first he was a zav, and then he was a bal keri. Demi kara la bar tvilahu, because there was no requirement for him to tovel vis-a-vis takanas Ezra, ava bal keri great a mechayiv. But if the only condition, if the only tumah that the person has was just simply a bal keri by itself, so lich ora, he would have to tovel in the mikvah in order to learn Torah, and this would be even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So this is a diuk made in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah of course says none of this, but it is curious, and this is exactly what the Gemara is picking up on. It's curious that the Mishnah is dealing specifically with a case where the person has a double tuma, and presumably if that means that if he only had one tuma, even Rabbi Yehuda would require this individual to tovel in the mikvah before learning. And the Gemara now tries to argue the other side, and that is that, no, there really is no diuk to be made in the Mishnah vis-a-vis Rav Yehuda. Now, why then does the Mishnah give the example of a Zav who is also a Keri? It's really just to accentuate the position of the Chachamim. And it's really just to tell us that according to the Chachamim, despite the fact that the Tefillah and the Mikvah is not going to make the individual tahor, nevertheless, the Chacham still demand that they tovel in the mikvah in order to learn Torah. Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, well, let's go on and read on in the Mishnah. Meaning, in the Mishnah, we had numerous cases, including Hamishameshes v'ras adam, tzricha tefillah. Third case in the Mishnah is, first a woman had relations with her husband, and then she was a nida. Now, the sequence over here is that, first she has the status of a balkari, then she has a tumah chamura. And Laman Ketanila, and the Gemara now asks the question, this case is there to highlight whose position? Ilema le Rabbanan Pshita. Can't be there to highlight the Chachamim's position, because at this point in time it's obvious. Hashta mazav shara keri de mikar la bar tefila hu mechayvi Rabbanan. Hamishamesh l'zveras adam de mikar bas tefila hi lo kol shekein. Consider that according to the Chachamim, in a case where first the man was a zav and then he becomes a balkari, where there from the original tuma there was no requirement to tov in the mikvah vis-a-vis Takanas Ezra, and yet the Chachamim require him to tov in the mikvah for Takanas Ezra. So in a case where I reverse, where first he's a balkari tuma, then he is, or in this case she is, a nida tuma, so then it goes without saying that they're going to have to tov in the mikvah vis-a-vis Takanas Ezra tvila. So it's not informing us anything regarding the opinion of the Chachamim. It is therefore only informing us regarding the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And Vidavka Ketanila. And the only reason why Rav Yehuda exempts is because it specifically came in this order, where first it was a Baal Keri, and then it was a standard Tumah. V'dafka ketani, as we turn now to the topic of Beis Aman Aleph. Misha meshes v'rasa nida in the tzricha tefila. Only in that case there's no tefila requirement of Baal Keri greida, but if it's just Baal Keri by itself, mechayev. So Rav Yehuda would require such an individual to tov on the mikvah in order to learn Torah. And so what we have over here is the following. It comes out now, as we learned the last mishnah of this parak, that according to Rav Yehuda, a Baal Keri by itself, even Rav Yehuda requires such an individual to tov on the mikvah in order to learn Torah. And so therefore we get a little bit stuck with our mishnah, because our mishnah says that according to Rav Yehuda, mevarch lifnei melach areihem, that the Baal Keri, without having tov on the mikvah, can make the brachas before and after Kriya Shema, and can make the bracha before and after eating bread. And how does that work? And doesn't Rav Yehuda require such an individual to tov on the mikvah, as is evident by the last mishnah of this parak? So the Gemara's response is as follows: Lo tema mevarech ela maharher. So when reading our mishnah, even though our mishnah uses the words mevarech, really what the mishnah means is maharer, which means that according to Rav Yehuda, what you're going to do with the brachos of Shema is that you are going to be thinking about the brachos of Shema, but you're not going to actually be articulating the brachos of Shema. Meaning, Rav Yehuda subscribes to Tekhanes Ezra. He just disagrees in terms of the application of what you can and cannot do. According to the Tanna Kamma, the only thing you could do is you could be maharer regarding Shema. And what Rav Yehuda is saying is that, no, regarding the brachos of Shema, that you could be maharer, even though the brachos of Shema is a derabanan. The Gemara challenges this position of Mislei LeRav Yehuda, hear her vahatanya. Is Rav Yehuda really subscribed to this idea of hear her, consider the following brisa? Baal Keri she'ein lo mayim litbol. If a Baal Keri does not have water to tovelin, kari kriya shema ve'inu mevarech lo lefanev lo lachareha. So, reading, he reads the Shema without making the brachas before and after. V'ochel pito mevarech lachareha ve'inu mevarech lefaneha. Eating the bread, but only benching afterwards and not benching before and not making a bracha beforehand. Ava mehara berlibo ve'inu mosi besfasav. Divrei Rebbe Meir. And even the parts that he's allowed to say, he could be Mahara in his heart, but he does not articulate. That is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. And then the Bryce records Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ben Kach, Ben Kach, Motzi Bisfasov. Under both circumstances, Motzi Bisfasov, he articulates. And that means now that according to Rebbe Yehuda, a Baal Keri who does not have the ability to tovel, nevertheless is able to actually articulate, not just think, but actually able to articulate the Shema on the benching. So Am Rav Nachman Ritzak, Asan Rav Yehuda, Kiyochos Derech Eretz. So the Gemara explains like this, that according to Rav Yehuda, yes, it's true, that when somebody is a Baal Keri and does not have the ability to tovel, so yes, he is going to be restricted. And under normal circumstances, he can't learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah. But as it relates to Shema, and as it relates to benching, so what Rav Yehuda allows such an individual to do is to articulate and to actually say it. Now, why should that be? Rav Yehuda gives it the same status as Hilchos Derech Eretz, meaning that Rav Yehuda gives certain allowances for a Baal Keri to learn certain areas of Torah, specifically the area of Derech Eretz. What Derech Eretz is, we're gonna explain in just a moment. But you see that according to Rav Yehuda, there are some exceptions for a Baal Keri in terms of what they can learn. And so therefore, included in those exceptions are also going to be Shema and benching. Since Shema and benching are fundamental and they are mitzvos daraisa, so Rav Yehuda also gives an allowance for the Baal Keri to say these as well, even though in general, he also abides by a restriction of a Baal Keri to not learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah, or she tovels in the mikvah, and Ditanya. And now what the Gemara is going to do is explain to us this idea that according to Rav Yehuda, a Baal Keri, even without having tovel in the mikvah, is in fact allowed to learn Hilchos Derech Eretz. The Bryce over here is going to be long and extensive. It's going to be quoting numerous positions regarding what a Baal Keri can and cannot learn. We start off with Vahodalma V'necha L'vnei V'necha, the first in the fourth parak of Devarim. The pasuk says that you will teach your children and your grandchildren. Uksiv Asrei, and afterwards it says Yom Asher Amata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev, the day that you stood at Chorev, Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the Gemara makes the following: Ma'ala Halam Be'ima Uveyira Uveresus Uvezeya. Just like over there, by Ma'amad Har Sinai, we were trembling. Rashi quotes the psukim that indicate that we were in fact trembling. Af Kan Be'ima Uveyira Uveresus Uvezeya. That means that also when transmitting Torah from one generation to the next, it must be in that same state. Mikan Amru, and from here they said, Hazavim, Vahamitzaraim, Uvaim al Nidos. Anyone who is Tameh, but a Tumah, that is a Tumah Chamura, like a Zav or a Mitzorah, or a man has relations with Anida. Mutarim likros b'torah v'nivim v'ksuvim. So has every ability to learn Tanakh, Lishnas b'mishnah v'gemar v'hilchos v'agados, and to learn Torah Shabbat Peh as well. Ava balei kriyam asurim, but a bal keri is prohibited from engaging in these activities. A number of points to make over here regarding the opinion of the Tanakhama. Number one, why is a bal keri going to be precluded from learning? What is the drasha telling us that how do we generate from the drasha that a bal keri is not allowed to learn? So Rashi points out over here that when it relates to a bal keri, the bal keri is involved in kalos rosh and zachos hadas. Rashi divrei maschil mikan amru. So since the bal keri is involved in frivolous behavior, so therefore he does not have the proper state of mind in order to learn Torah, as opposed to a zavar mitzora. Yes, they're tamei, but it does not change their state of mind, and they can have the serious attitude necessary in order to study Torah. That is the way the drasha works, as explained by Rashi. A curiosity in this drasha is that of the people that are tamei that are allowed to learn Torah, so one of them is a bal nida. So first of all, bal nida is also a bal keri. Obviously, he's having relations with Anida. So it's true, as we learned back from Masechta Anida, such an individual's tummy. And yes, that person's tummy for 7 days, it's a tumah chamura. But at the very same time, isn't that person also a balkari? So how could such an individual learn Torah? Doesn't he need to tovel because of Takanas Ezra? So Rashi points that out over here as well. And Rashi says, obviously, we're talking about where such an individual already tovel likiryan. Meaning that after having relations with Anida, so they tovel right away. Now that does not remove the tumah of Boel Nida, but that does satisfy the requirement to tovel likiryan, so that they can learn Torah. In other words, they took care of the tefillah of Takanas Ezra. Okay, so the first opinion in the Braisa is the opinion of the Tanakhama, which states that a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah. And now a number of other positions in terms of the scope of what a bal keri can and cannot learn before toveling in the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi Amar Shonahu Bergilios. Rabbi Yossi says that such an individual can go over Mishnayos that they already know very well, and they could just simply run through the Mishnayos of Avash Aliyatsiyas HaMishnah, as long as they don't try to give any type of analysis of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef Amar Mitzias Hu HaMishnah Ve'in Mitzias HaGemara. Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef says that they can try to give analysis to the Mishnah, but they may not give analysis to the Gemara. Now, the word Gemara over here, as Zabach points out, and it seems to be the Girsa of Rashi, is not to be understood as Gemara, but rather as Medrash. And Medrash over here, probably in the context of Medrash Halacha, meaning like Sifra and Sifrei. And the reason why Rav Yonasan makes a distinction is that Mishnah, albeit it's Torah Shabbat Peh, but there's not much psukim that are associated with Mishnayos. On occasion, you will see a pasuk being quoted by the Mishnah, but most of the time, no. The Mishnayos just give us the halacha without ascribing it to the psukim. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the Medrash halacha, so they are grounded in the psukim. It's Torah Shabbat Peh that's connected to the psukim. And so Rav Yonasan Ben Yosef says that the bal keri before toveling the mikvah, so to learn Mishnayos would be fine, but to learn Medrash would not be okay, because that's going to require a looking and analysis of the psukim. Rabbi Nasan Ben Avishalom Amar Af Mitzias HaGemara. Rabbi Nasan Ben Avshalom says that he can even give analysis of the Gemara. Again, the Gemara over here means Medrash, meaning the Medrash Halacha. Uvavashalo Yamar Askar Shabo, but when saying the Psukim, don't say Shem Hashem while being in a state of Balkari. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Tamidosh, Rabbi Akiva, Mishim, Rabbi Akiva, Omer. The Gemara then cites the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the student of Rabbi Akiva, quoting Rabbi Akiva. And he understands, Lo Yikanas Medrash Kol Iker, that you're not allowed to enter into any kind of Medrash, meaning not to learn neither Mishnah nor Midrashim. The Amri Lalo Yikanas to Beis Medrash Kol Iker, or another version has it that you're not even allowed to go into Beis Medrash while being a Bal Keri, and you must remain outside the Beis Medrash. You can't even go in and overhear some of the Torah that's being taught in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. This is another opinion in the Braisa, and this is the entire reason why we're quoting the Braisa over here. Shonahu Be'ilchus Derech Eretz, that one is allowed to learn the laws of Derech Eretz. What exactly is the laws of Derech Eretz? So Rashi over here, you can see the Rashi on the very bottom of the inner column. Could go in Darchan Shal Tamid HaChachamim. Let's say, for example, the behavior, the proper conduct of a Tamid HaChacham. She Braisa Uveperek Benazeh Hanosin Arba Dvarim El Libo. Also in Maseches Derech Eretz. So basically, these are the Mishnayos, very similar to that of Pirkei Avos, where basically it is constructive behavior, how a person should live in general, meaning not specific halachas, but just basic conduct. So this is Hilchos Derech Eretz, according to Rabbi Yehuda. One is allowed to engage in the study, even though he's a Balkeri, and even though he has not toveled in the mikveh yet. Rabbi Yehuda Sharai Keri v'hayim mahalach al gav hanar. There was an incident where Rabbi Yehuda, after having a Keri issue, in other words, he had relations with his wife, and he was traveling along the riverbank. Amar lo tamid of Rabbi Nishanala Perak Echad beHilchos Derech Eretz. The students wanted to learn from Rabbi Yehuda, having known already that he was a Balkeri, and obviously it's a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit awkward that the students know that the Rebbe's in a state of being a Balkeri. It's kind of information which obviously nowadays is not shared between Rebbe and student, but back in the day, apparently this was information that was comfortably shared from one to the other. However that works, but anyway, the students know that the Rabbi Yehuda was a Balkeri, and so therefore they asked that he only teach Derech Eretz, Hilchos Derech Eretz, so that he would not have to be inconvenienced and tovel in the mikvah. Nevertheless, Yarad v'tavol, v'shana lehem. He told them the mikvah, and afterwards he got up from the mikvah and he taught him. Amar lo lo kach li maraten Rabbeinu shona hu b'Hilchos Derech Eretz. And the students were wondering, we asked you to teach us Derech Eretz because we didn't want you to tovel in the mikvah, and we didn't want to inconvenience you, and meanwhile, you just ran right into the mikvah. And he says, look, my position is for other people, but I want to be machmer upon myself, and in fact, I am machmer upon myself. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us now to the end of the entire discussion regarding the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. At this point in time, we have now clarified the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Mevarech lifnei malach harehem, what Rabbi Yehuda means by that is not that you are actually allowed to say the brachas before and after, but you're only allowed to think. Rabbi Yehuda does, in fact, subscribe to the Takanas Ezra. Rav Yehuda says that a man and a woman are not allowed to engage in the study of Torah until they tovel in the mikvah after being a Balkeri, and it's just that he is slightly more lenient in terms of the allowances that are given to the Balkeri, as opposed to the Tanakama, where the Tanakama only allows for Hirhur. According to Rav Yehuda, for the Shema and for the benching, you're allowed to articulate, and for the brachos before and after the Shema, and for the bracha before bread, so there you can be Maharher. And the allowance that's given to say the Shema and the allowance that's given to say the benching is based on the fact that Rav Yehuda also has another allowance, i.e., you're allowed to learn Hilchos Derech Eretz. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Shita of Rav Yehuda, and we now have good pshat within Rav Yehuda. Tanya, the Gemara quotes with the Braisa, we're halfway down in Chav Beis Amud Aleph. And in this Braisa, we are going to go over now another Shita, and that's Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. Let us make a clear distinction between Rav Yehuda ben Beseira and Rav Yehuda. These are two different Tanayim. And Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, Haya Omer Ein Devei Torah Mekablam Tumah, that the words of Torah are not Mekabel Tumah. That is another way of him saying that a Balkeri is allowed to learn all Torah with no restrictions whatsoever. An incident where a student was stuttering the words of the Torah in front of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. This student was a Balkeri and therefore felt a little uncomfortable saying over Torah, Amarle Bini. And Rav Yehuda ben Beseira says to his student, my son, Psach Picha, V'ya'iru Devarecha, open your mouth, illuminate your words. Shein Divrei Torah Mekabel Tumah. The words of Torah are not Mekabel Tumah. Shenemar Haloko, Divrei Keshnam Hashem. My words are like fire. Ma Ish Inam Mekabel Tumah, Af Divrei Torah Inam Mekabel Tumah. So the, just like fire is not Mekabel Tumah, so too are the words of Torah not Mekabel Tumah. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira's Shita is that a Balkeri is allowed to learn Torah. The obvious question that needs to be addressed, the truth of the matter is that on the Rishonim, on our daf, it is not addressed, but Tosfos discusses this back in Baba Kama, where the Gemara over there goes over to Takanas Ezra. Tosfos on daf Pei Beis in Baba Kama addresses the obvious question is he just simply ignoring Takanas Ezra? And it's hard to imagine that he's going to ignore Takanas Ezra. And how exactly can he take a position that you're allowed to learn Torah without toveling in the mikvah? And how could you run against the Takana that was instituted by Ezra? See Tosfos over there. Tosfos gives three different answers to address this very fundamental question. We're going to go on in the Gemara. Amar Mar Metzias Mishnah Bein Metzias Gemara. The Gemara is going back to the Braisa that we quoted above, that according to one Shita, that was the Shita of the Shita of Rabbi Nassim bar Avshalom, is that you're allowed to go over Mishnayos, but you're not allowed to go over Midrashim. Mesayel Rabbi Lai, Damer Rabbi Lai, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov, Mishum Rabbeinu, Halacha Metzias HaMishnah, Bina Metzias HaGemara. And then the Gemara quotes that this is also the opinion of Rabbi Lai in the name of Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov. Kitanai, the Gemara points out that this is subject to a Machlokes Tanai, Metzias HaMishnah, Bina Metzias HaGemara, Dev Rabbi Meir. So again, according to Rabbi Meir, so you can learn as a Balkari Mishnayos, but not Medrashim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Amar Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Zevezeh Asver, Amar La Zevezeh Mutter. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees, but what exactly his position is subject to two versions. One version is that they're both Asr, the other version is they're both Mutter. Mandam Zevezeh Asr, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. The position that they're both Asr subscribes to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who in the previous Brisa was quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva, that if somebody's a Balkari, he's not allowed to learn any type of Torah, neither Mishnah nor Midrashim. Mandam is Zevezeh Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. And the position that says that they're both Mutters, hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, that there is no restrictions whatsoever for a Balkari to learn Torah. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Nauga Amakani Tlasabe. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that we're going to be following like these three elders. There are three positions that are taken by various Tanaim, and even though that we could qualify them as maybe a Das Yachid, as a singular position, nevertheless, the Minag Olam is to follow these three positions, and in these three particular positions, they all serve as kulas, as leniencies. And one, Kareb Elai Bereshis Hagez, we're going to explain each one of them. I'm just going to read through. Kareb Yoshia B'Klaim and Kareb Yehuda Ben Beser B'Divrei Torah. And now the Gemara is going to explain each one. Kareb Elai Bereshis Hagez, the Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Elai Omer Reshis Hagez, Eino Noheg Ela Ba'aretz. The mitzvah of taking the first shearings of your sheep and giving it to the Kohen. It's one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, so it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. We know that agricultural halachas apply exclusively in Eretz Yisrael. Sheep are not part of the ground. And so therefore, in principle, the mitzvah of Reshis Hagez should apply anywhere in this world, anywhere where a Jew owns sheep. So there should be a mitzvah of Reshis Hagez. In terms of the details of this mitzvah, so you could see the end of Masechet Chulin where the Gemara dedicates a perek to this topic. But for now, all we need to know is that there is a sheet of Rabbi Elai that says that the mitzvah of Reshis Hagez only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and that's Minag HaOlam, says the Gemara. It says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that outside of Eretz Yisrael, you could rely on this position and not have to take off Reshis Hagez to give to the Kohanim. Number two, Rabbi Yoshia b'klaim k'dichsev lo sizra charmecha kelayim. Rabbi Yoshia omer la'olam inu chayv ashi izrachita sarov v'chartzam b'man polos yad. The shita of Rabbi Yoshia is that in order to violate the isra of kelayim, you must start off with actual kelayim, meaning wheat and barley, two dissimilar grains, and then add that to the grape seed and plant all three of them simultaneously. Then and only then is one going to be violating the Isra of Kalayim, and the Gemara says, and we follow that position. And finally, like the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, but Divrei Torah, the time Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Omer, and Divrei Torah, Mekablim Tuma. And the Minag HaOlam is to follow like the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which means that if a man is a Balkari, or if a woman has the status of a Balkari, they do not need to tov on the mikvah in order to learn Torah. They can learn Torah even without having to tov on the mikvah. Ki asa ziri amar bitlua litfilosa. Ziri comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says in Eretz Yisrael they were a mevatel tfila, to be explained in just a moment. The amrila bitlua litfilosa. Or, in another version, came in from Eretz Yisrael and said that they were mevatel netilas yadayim. Again, to be explained. Mandam Rabbi Lula tefila saka Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. The one who says that they were mevatel the tefila, what they meant was the tefila of Takanas Ezra, which they were mevatel, and that goes according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Mandam Rabbi Bitlu l'ntilusa ki hadrav chisalayda mandam hadar may be'in slusa. As far as the bittul of netilas yadayim is concerned, that's in a very limited circumstance where a person is davening, the zman of tefila is coming to an end, and the person is looking for water, and because of his search for water, he's going to be mevatel the zman of tefila. So Rav Chista was lied. He cursed somebody who behaved in such a manner. Under those circumstances, there is no requirement to wash your hands. Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara now continues its discussion of a Baal Keri. Now, in a moment, we're going to be introduced to a brand new concept, and that is what's called Tisha Kavin. Tisha Kavin doesn't express itself, to my knowledge, anywhere else in terms of being metaher an individual. Meaning, if a person is tamei so, they can either go into a mikvah or they can go into a mayan, a wellspring or a collection of rainwater. Mikvah is a collection of rainwater, and Mayan is a wellspring. However, regarding the tefillah required for Takanas Ezra, let us remind ourselves that Takanas Ezra to begin with is a din derabanan satakana, and so therefore certain allowances and leniencies were given, and notably Tisha Kaben. Tisha Kaben is where only 9 kav of water, approximately 5 gallons of water, it can be poured on an individual, and that'll create the necessary tahara so that he can learn Torah. So Ba'akari Shanasnu Alav Tisha Kaben, Mayim Tahar. So the Brisa tells us that if you have a Ba'akari where you take 9 kav of water and put it on him, so that individual now is Torah and is able to learn Torah. Nachum Ishkamzu Lachsha to Rabbi Akiva. Nachum Ishkamzu whispered this halacha to Rabbi Akiva. Whispering over here meaning did not want to make this halacha public. Rabbi Akiva Lachsha to Ben Azai, and Rabbi Akiva whispered it to Ben Azai. Ben Azai Yatsa Vishana Latamidav Vishuk, and Ben Azai broadcasted this halacha to everybody in the marketplace. Now, Pligi Batrei Amarai B'Marava Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. There was a debate amongst Amaraim in Eretz Yisrael. Chad Tini Shana V'Chad Tini Lachsha. When teaching this brisa that we just learned together, some understand and feel that the correct nusach is taught it, and the other one is whispered it, meaning that there is a leniency that a Balkari is in fact allowed to use Tisha Kabim and only Tisha Kabim, and it's just a question of, are we going public with this information, that Shana, or do we want to keep this information more private and more discreet? Now, the one who wants to broadcast this information, because consider that once a person is able to just rectify their situation by using Tisha Kaben, so that means that there's going to be more Torah, because now you don't have to wait until you get to a bona fide mikvah. You just simply use Tisha Kaben, and then you're able to learn Torah and also period of Rivia, meaning that a husband will be more available to be with his wife, knowing that the remedy in order for him to learn Torah is just simply Tisha Kaben. So it will induce more learning of Torah and the mitzvah peruvu. However, if you subscribe to the idea that this information of Tisha Kaben working and being effective is something that they whispered, meaning that they did not want the populace to know about it, because generally speaking, they did not want Tamid HaChachamim to be with their wives more than regularly scheduled. The Gemara Ksuvos talks about the schedule of various people in terms of how frequently they should be with their wives. The Tamid HaChachamim says the Gemara over there should be with his wife once a week. And if there was a leniency extended to the Tamid HaChachamim in which he just needs to teach a Kabbim in order to rectify his status of being a Balkari, so then he'll be with his wife more frequently. And generally speaking, the Chachamim did not want that. And so therefore, this information was only whispered, but was not broadcasted to the population. Rabbi Yana says that I heard people, 2 different schools of thought. Some were Makel, some were Machmir. Anyone who is Machmir to themselves, they are going to extend his days and his years. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mativan Shel Tov LeShachrin. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, what is the good of toveling in the morning? Immediately the Gemara interjects, Mativan Ha'iud Amar Balkari Asar B'Divrei Torah. What do you mean? What good is it? We just learned together. You're Balkari. You have to tovel in the mikvah in order to learn Torah. Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says, no. That wasn't his question. His question was, Mativan Ba'arba'im Sa'efshar B'Tisha Kaben. Mativan B'Tfila Efshar B'Nesina. You don't need a full mikvah. You have 40 Sa'ah. You just need Tisha Kaben. You don't need to sit in it, you just simply need to pour it on top of you like a shower. Amar Rabbi Chanina Gedor Gadol Gadru Ba. Rabbi Chanina says that it creates a certain fence and a certain protection for a person if he follows this minag takana of having to tov on the mikvah. Titania, the Gemara tells the following brisa, which relates the following story. There was an incident where a person solicited a woman. Rashi says it was a single woman. He was a man soliciting a single woman, not in the context of Kedushin and Nisuin. Amart lo reka, and she says to him, you are so empty. Yeshachar b'im sa'ashatatova b'hemiyad pirish. And she asks him, after we have relations, do you have a mikvah in which to go to so that you can learn Torah? And he was so embarrassed by that comment that immediately he stopped himself from having relations with her. So you see that Tekhanas Ezra created enough of a hesitation in the man so that he was able to overcome his Yetzirah. Amalu Rav Huna L'Rabbanan Rav Osam Ibnei Matam Azazam L'Tfila Zu. Rav Huna says to the Chachamim, why are you showing this halacha of tefila a lack of respect? You're being mezalza. Imishum sina efshar b'mechatzos. Is it because the water's cold? You can do such a tefila for Tekhanas Ezra in a bathhouse. Amalei Rav Chisda v'chiyesh tefila b'chamin. What? You can do it in a bathhouse? In other words, isn't that collected water? So Amalei Rav Ada Barava kai kavasech. And he says Rav Ada Barava agrees with you in that you're not allowed to use the water of a bathhouse. Rabbi Zera Hava Yosef Ba'agna Demai Be Masusa. The Gemara tells another story of Rabbi Zera, who was in a bathhouse and a tub of water within a bathhouse. Amar Leila Shama, he says to his attendants, Zilva Isiliti Shekabin Vishti Ilave, take 9 kav of water and pour it on my head. Amar Le Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Lamale Lamar Kule Hai. What do you mean? Vayasu Vigavayu, you're sitting in the water. Why do I need to Shekabin on you? So he says, I'm going to explain to you how Tisha Kaban works. It works very much like a mikvah 40 sa. Ma arba imsa b'tvila v'lo b'nesina. When it comes to the 40 sa of a mikvah, you have to go into the 40 sa of mikvah. In other words, 40 sa by definition is enough water where you can go into the water and it will cover the entirety of your body. So the Tisha Kaban obviously is not enough water where you can sit in the water, but rather the water has to go on you and basically go over you so that it gets full coverage of your body, but only when it's poured on top of you. Rav Nachman Tikkun in Chitzba Tisha Kaban. The Gemara tells a story where Rav Nachman set up in his town a jug that was exactly the size of Tisha Kaban, so people would know exactly how much water to use for Tisha Kaban. Ki also Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yehuda Glustera Amru Lo Shanu Ela Lechola Laon So. This leniency of Tisha Kaban can only be used in very limited circumstances, only for somebody who is sick and had an involuntary discharge, seminal discharge. Aval Lechola Hamargel, but if it's somebody who is weak, who had a voluntary seminal discharge, Arbaim Sa, so then he needs a full 40 Sa. So that means that this idea of Tisha Kaban, as reported by Rav Dimi, is only in the limited circumstance where the person had an involuntary discharge and he was sick. So Amar Rav Yosef, it bar chatzvei de Rav Nachman. So Rav Yosef says that if with this psak that was given by Rav Dimi, we might as well break the jug of Rav Nachman. Meaning, under what circumstances are we going to be able to use the jug of Tisha Kabim only when the person's sick and he had an involuntary discharge? That's very limited circumstances. Rashi on the very bottom of the page, it bar chatzvei, ein etzarech lanu dechol alon zolo shchiach. It's so uncommon. We're never going to use it. He also Ravin. Now Ravin has a different version of the halacha. Amar Beusha. He says that the following was instituted in the town of Usha. Hava Uvda, there was an incident. As we now turn to the top of Chaviz Amud Beis, Bekila de Rav Oshia, in the front room of Rav Oshia, Asav Shalu le Rav Asi, Amalu lo Shanu ela lechola hamargil. The idea of using Tisha Kaban is only for somebody who's sick and had a voluntary discharge of alachola launsa patamiklam, but for a chola, a sick person who is an ones, meaning an involuntary discharge, so then he doesn't need anything. Not 40 sa, not tisha kabim, nothing. Does not need any kind of rectification in order to learn Torah. And Rashi points out over here why, when we use the word chola in this context, what are we referring to? So obviously the word means sick, but Rashi points out over here the word chola in this context also is referring to talmidei chachamim. You can see the Rashi back on the Amud Aleph. Rashi notes the Rashi Divra Hamaschel Efshar Benesina. So he notes that the talmidei chachamim over here are reference to cholim. And they're learning Torah, and therefore they're a little bit weaker in their constitution. So that is the chola that's mentioned over here. Okay. Back to the Gemara of chola la'onso patumei klom. Amar Rav Yosef itstamed chatzvei de Rav Nachman. If we're going to go with the second version, meaning the Rav Dimi version of the halacha, so now it comes out that the Rav Nachman jug is not useless, but rather useful. Literally, we can put back together the jug of Rav Nachman. But now it just simply means that because we have now a regular usage of Tisha Kabin, because now you could use it for a chola. Chola in our context is to be understood as a tamach chachem, even though it is margil, meaning he's having a voluntary discharge, meaning he had relations with his wife. So for such an individual, can use Tisha Kabin. So now there's going to obviously be usage for the jug that was put together by Rav Nachman. We're in Chav Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara now wants to take stock of where we are in this discussion of Takanas Ezra, toveling in the mikvah, using 40 saw, using Tisha Kabin, or not requiring anything. Michdi. So the Gemara says all this requires a lot of clarification. Kula Amarai b'Tanai b'de Ezra k'miflgi. We have a lot of Amarayim and a lot of Tanayim who are arguing within the Shita of Ezra, and what exactly was Takanas Ezra? Nechze Ezra, hecha tikein. This is a Takana that was made by Ezra. Why can't we just simply ask the question, what was the Takanas of Ezra? What are we arguing about? It's a really fundamental question. Tosfos points out at the very top of the Amud, Menechze Ezra Heichen Tikan, Baharbi Mekomas Gabishar Takanas Lo Parech Gemar Hachi. Now, this is not the only time where we had a debate regarding a particular Takana, but Tosfos points out over here, Shani Hacha, but over here it's different. The Davar Haraga Bechol Yomu Akin Anu Zuchurim. Well, this is something that happens all the time, meaning husbands and wives have relations all the time, and men are learning Torah and saying Shema all the time. So this is the kind of thing where there shouldn't be any debate on this issue. We should know very well what exactly was the Takana of Ezra. And so why are we having a debate, meaning when do you use 40 saw, when do you use Tisha Kabin, when do you use nothing? How could there possibly be any debate on the issue? Amar Abaye, so Abaye explains, Ezra Tikan Lebar Hamargo, Mem Saw. Here's what we know. Here are the givens. If somebody's healthy and he has relations with his wife, in order for him to learn Torah, so Ezra was mesakin that he must go into a full-fledged mikvah of 40 saw. Obari la'onso, and I have somebody who's healthy and had an involuntary discharge, so Tisha Kabin. So such an individual now can use Tisha Kabin in order to rectify a situation so that he can learn Torah. So I have the healthy person who had a voluntary discharge, and I had a healthy person who had an involuntary discharge, and now from this point going forward, there is room for the Amoraim to argue. Vaso Amoraim pligi b'chola. Now the question becomes, what if the person was not healthy, but what if he was to begin with a little bit weaker? Again, as Rashi points out, weaker in this context just simply means that he is like a Tamei Chacham. So Marsa v'chola amargo k'bari amargo v'chola la'onso k'bari la'onso. So one position is that nothing changes, meaning despite the fact that the person's a little bit weaker, but the halacha for him stands the same. So that means that if it's voluntary, so then 40 saw. If it's involuntary, it's Tisha Kabin. Umarsa v'chola amargo k'bari la'onso v'chola la'onso patumi klom. And the other position is no, that once the person's a chola, everything drops down a level. So for the chola hamargil, so for him, Tisha Kabin. For the chola la'ones, it goes down one level to the point where there is no requirement, meaning it's either 40 saw, Tisha Kabin, or there's no tefillah requirement whatsoever. Amar Rav Nihid, the Tikken Ezra tefillah nisina mitikken. So Rav says, I don't understand. Ezra was masaking tefillah. Did he have anything to do with Tisha Kabin? V'amar Amar, Ezra tikken tefillah balakarin. When you look at the Gemara in Baba Kama, the only thing that's mentioned over there is Ezra being masaking tefillah. Doesn't mention anything regarding nine Kabin. El Amar Rav Ezra tikken tefillah labari. Hamar Geo Memsa. So Ezra's Takana was tefillah for a healthy person who has a voluntary discharge, meaning he's with his wife. And for him, he was required to tovel in 40 saw of water. And then the Chachamim came along, a later group of Chachamim came along and made a later Takana that for the involuntary discharge, for a healthy person, he requires Tisha Kabin. And then as far as the later Amoraim are concerned, so they argue regarding the Chola, and the Gemara is just going to review for us, Mar Savra Chola Hamargo Kabari Hamargo, V'Chola La'onso Kabari La'onso, Umar Savra Labari Hamargo Memsa, V'Chola Hamargo Kabari La'onso Tisha Kabin, Aval Chola La'onso Patmi Klom. And as the Gemara just said a couple lines earlier, it's just a question of, is the Chola going to be on the same level as the Bari, or is the Chola going to drop down one level? Amar Rava. The Gemara continues, Hilchus Abari Amargo V'Chola Amargo Arbaim Saw, that if I have a healthy person who has a voluntary discharge and a weaker person who has a voluntary discharge, 40 Saw, Bari La'onso, Tisha Kabin. a healthy person who had an involuntary discharge, it's going to be Tisha Kabin. Avachol alone, so patur miklum. But if he is a weaker individual who had an involuntary discharge, so then he's not going to require anything. Now, the Gemara says, Rav is saying that this is the halacha. Rashi says over here that, yes, this is the halacha, but this is not the practiced halacha. It just simply means that regarding the machlokus of the Amoraim and Tanaim within the position of the Chachamim, so Rava gives us what he believes is the conclusive viewpoint. But as far as the practiced halacha, Rashi reminds us that we do follow, like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, in which no tvila is going to be required whatsoever, the Divrei Torah are Ein Mekablim Tuma. Tana Rabbanan. Halfway down, Anchav Beis Amid Beis, Baal Keri Shenasnu Alav Tisha Kabin Mayim Tahor. A Baal Keri who puts upon himself 9 Kabin of water is going to be in a state of Tahara, Bemed V'Ramamorim Latzmo. But even in that state of Tahara, that is only going to be vis-a-vis himself. Avala Acherim. But if he wants to teach others Torah, Arbaim Sa'ah, there's a requirement of 40 Sa'ah. Rav Yehuda Amar, Mem Sa'ah Mikamakom. And Rav Yehuda certainly disagrees. He says that it's 40 saw in any event. It's not clear exactly what Rav Yehuda is saying, and the Gemara now seeks immediate clarification. But first, we're going to list 4 Amoraim: Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Rav Elazar and Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Chad Mehaizuga v'Chad Mehaizuga, Aresha, so one from the first grouping and one from the second grouping, are say that it make a comment regarding the first part of this brisa. This idea that in order to teach others you have to tovel in the mikvah 40 sa'ah, that's only as it relates to somebody who's weaker who has a voluntary discharge. But as far as a tamei chacham who had an involuntary discharge, tisha kabin, so then it is only 9 kabin that are required, and then he can not only learn but can teach others as well. And the other says no, that in order to be able to teach others, you need 40 saw, even in the case of chole la'on saw. Even a tamei chacham, even though he had an involuntary discharge, he's still going to need 40 saw to teach others. So that is one debate regarding how to understand the Tanakhama. And then on top of that, there also debate regarding what exactly is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda said that 40 sa mikol makom, what's meant by that? Lo shanu la bekarka. That's only talking about when you're toveling in the ground. Aval bekelim, if you're toveling in a kli like a bathtub, so lo. And the other says no, that you can even tovel for Takanas Ezra in a kli, in water that is not in the ground but rather in a kli. So Bishlam Alamanda Marfil Bekelam Haina Dikan Rav Yehuda Amar Mem Sami Komakom. Now, on one hand, you can easily understand this position of Kalim in that it really fits into the language of Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda says it's 40 says Mikomakom, and it sounds like under any circumstance. Alamanda Mabakarka in Bekelam Lo, but to the position that it can only be water in the ground and not in a kli. So Mikomakom La Suyamai. So what's Mikomakom? Isn't that coming to be inclusive of something? So La Suyamai Sha'uvim. The water has to be in the ground, but in terms of how the water got in the ground, the water can get there via Maim Sheuvim. If the water was drawn in a kli, normally would be possible for mikvah, but for Takanas Ezra would be allowed, according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua, Rav Bar Shmuel, Kirichu Rifta Bahadeh Adade. The Gemara finishes up over here with the story of 3 Amoraim having washed and have broken bread together. Amalei Rav Papa, Havalu Lididi, Livroch, Denafo, Livay, Tisha Kabin. So, Rav Papa says that I'm in a position that although I was a Baal Keri, but I put upon myself Tisha Kabin, and now I'm in a position where I could make a bracha not only on behalf of myself, but on behalf of others as well. Amalu Rav Bar Shmuel, Tanina Bamed, Ramamurim Latzmo, Valachir Memsa. Well, no, you can't do that. Tisha Kabin may work for you individually, but in order to be motzi others, you need memsa. Ela Havali Lididi, Livroch, Denafol, Avayar, Bamsa. And he says, but I'm in a position where I did tovel in the mikvah of 40 sons, so therefore I can bench on behalf of others. Amlu Rav Huna Habli Lididi Livroch the Lake Ilave Lohai Velohai. And Rav Huna says, I'm in a position where I can bench for others because I have neither. meaning I haven't toveled in the mikvah nor have I tisha kabin, but as Rashi explains over here, I didn't need to because he did not have relations with his wife the night prior, and so he wasn't a balkeri. Rav Chama tovel b'mal yom depischa lo tzi rab midei chavasam. Rav Chama would tovel on Erev Pesach. Now this is post Chorban Beis Hamikdash. It has nothing to do with the actual Karban Pesach. But in other words, on Erev Pesach, you know you're going into Seder, and you know that you're going to be doing Magid and Kiddush and benching and in other words, the Seder. And you're not only doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for others as well. And so therefore, he felt that if he's going to be saying all these Kiddushim and Havdalah, and I'm sorry, Kiddushim and benching and Magid for other people, so he would tovel in the mikvah in order so that he could be not only mostly himself but others as well. But the Gemara says that the halacha does not fall like him. Now, what that means exactly, take a look at Rashi at the end of the sugya. Rashi writes, one possibility is that there's no distinction to be made between for yourself and for others. Oh, inami, or Rashi points out, or maybe that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, and so therefore there's no need to tovel whatsoever. To recap, we've done a number of things over the course of this daf. One, we see clarification in the shita of Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, when Rav Yehuda says that for the Balkeri, before he having tovel in the mikvah, he's mavark lefneim l'achareim. So the Gemara got a better understanding of the shita of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Eli of our Mishnah, not Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. And that Rav Yehuda does conform, he does subscribe to Takanas Ezra and the requirement to tovel. It's just a question that what kind of allowances are there given specifically for Shema and Birchos Shema that is afforded to the Balkeri, even though he hasn't tovel in the mikvah. The Gemara cited numerous opinions in terms of what exactly is the scope of the restrictions of learning when a person is a Balkeri. The Gemara gave a number of opinions, and notably the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, who subscribes to the idea that there is no restriction whatsoever, and the person can learn Torah even in the state of Balkeri, and there's no need to tovel. What does he do with the Takana of Ezra? So I send you to Tosfos in Baba Kama, who addresses this question and gives three separate answers to this question. One of the answers, I didn't mention it, but I'll mention it now. One of the answers of Tosfos is that built into the Takana of Ezra is that he allows for a later Beis Din to go ahead and release it, meaning he made the Takana al Tanai. That's one of the suggestions of Tosfos over there. As far as the remainder of today's daf, a very lengthy and back and forth discussion regarding exactly the parameters of a Balkeri, when he needs to tovel in 40 sav water, when is he given the allowance of Tisha Kabin, when is there no requirement whatsoever for him to tovel, various variables that go into the discussion. And then the Gemara's conclusion is that as far as the very bottom line of the daf today is concerned, that there is no requirement to tovel, and Rashi a number of times in today's daf says that we do in fact follow like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra.